Welcome to Storage Talk, Clash of the Titans, IBM Storage Software versus EMC. Today's conference is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. I will now turn the meeting over to Mr. Jarrett Potts. Sir, you may begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. Steve Lucco from the Product Management and Strategy Group, who will be talking about how to go out and win against EMC. As we all know, that EMC likes to come after some of our customers and has a great foothold in some of our accounts and provides a stumbling block for some of our sales. Now, as we go forth, Mr. Lucco is going to go through all kinds of different ways to position our products, the IBM storage products, against theirs, and hopefully provide you with different ways for you to go out and win against your customers. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you, Mr. Lucco. Have at it.
Thanks, Jarrett. This is Steve Lucco from the Product Management and Strategy Group here in Tivoli Storage Software. Today's Tivoli Talk, brought to you by our sales enablement team, is how to compete and win versus EMC with Tivoli Storage Manager and Tivoli Storage Productivity Center. We'll have future talks about other topics such as SVC that we'll be telling you more about in the future. But today, we're mostly going to focus on our flagship award-winning and market share-gaining Tivoli Storage Manager backup and recovery product line. And we'll be focusing in on one of the competitors is a competitor for IBM across all of storage and in the storage software market, albeit with a unique spin of late, and that would be EMC. So looking at chart two, let's talk about how EMC attacks to get us started here to understand their mode of operation so we can understand how to fight back. One of the things that EMC has done well and is very proud of is the fact that they tend to serially acquire technologies in the marketplace from the startup companies that generally have done fairly well in the market, and then they create kinds of buzz around that because, well, let's face it, the industry likes to see acquisitions. It's something to talk about and entertaining. And EMC takes advantage of that fact by spending about half of their research and development budget on acquiring companies rather than doing, say, old-fashioned organic internal development. So if we look at, in particular, what they have done in the backup market space over the past 7 years or so, we see that they had been in the business before this, but the product wasn't doing all that well. Legato was with their networker product, and so they acquired that in 2003. And I forget whether that product was number one or number two in market share, but EMC has managed to drag that down to number four in market share now over their 7 years of stewardship over that franchise. It's a legacy backup product that is very typical of the class of products that Tivoli Storage Manager competes against, and many of the same issues that we're going to talk about about versus networker can actually be applied to Symantec Net Backup and Commvault as well, but we'll be focusing on networker. EMC also acquired Kasha, which they renamed RecoverPoint, in 2006. It's a SAN-based hardware replication product that EMC acquired, and they tried to really kindle a partnership with switch vendors Brocade and Cisco, because it takes a specialized piece of hardware that it runs on in order to function, and they sell that as an alternative to their array-based replication product, SRDF, when they need to. It's something that the marketplace hasn't embraced, and EMC really isn't pushing that much. Something that EMC is pushing a lot is one of their more recent acquisitions, just I guess it's 4 years now, which is quite a while, is Avamar, which is a backup software originally created by their creators for the service market. And it was oriented toward remote locations, and it was really intended for storage service providers to run as a service for the remote locations. And it was never really intended to be an enterprise product, and we're going to talk about the reasons why it has stayed what really is a non-enterprise, you know, product, and has caused EMC some, you know, some issues. It does have client-side deduplication, which has been, you know, what its focus on the marketplace, you know, has been. And it has been reasonably successful for EMC in offering customers a solution to a sticky situation that a lot of customers have found themselves in over the past 15 years with distributed systems out in many far-flung remote locations who have had to rely on non-trained operators to manually, you know, use tapes and store tapes and have a truck come and transport those tapes and then store those tapes. And Avamar is a solution that is network-based and has had, you know, some appeal in the market. And EMC has done reasonably well with that in that niche, you know, of the market. It hasn't been successful in penetrating the enterprise, and we'll talk about why that the substantial issues that Avamar has that has prohibited them from getting into the enterprise, and why that caused EMC a problem with their whole portfolio. One of the things that EMC you know, talks about all the time in essentially every part of their business is the fact that they're a disk company. And even though they, you know, resell some tape, you know, in their marketplace, they like to talk about the fact that, in their words, tape sucks, and everything should be disk-based. And Avamar, along with having their client-side deduplication to enable disk-based backup, also replicates data from one Avamar server to another, which can be used, you know, for disaster recovery, in its EMC's way of backing up the Avamar servers rather than back up to tape. But we'll talk about the options they have there as well. One of the other acquisitions that EMC made, which was a lot low-keyer or less important in the marketplace, or less visible, I should say, in the marketplace, was a company called Wisdom, which they renamed Data Protection Advisor, which is a heterogeneous management mechanism for analytics for backup software. And, you know, this is one of those little products that, for anyone familiar with the TSM marketplace, it's essentially like a server graph or a Bocata, you know, product that can manage the networker product. When I say manage, I mean apply analytics about, you know, what backups are being successful and, you know, what clients are not getting backed up, and, you know, it helps, you know, ensure the service levels, you know, of the environment that is managing. It manages, you know, networker as well as heterogeneous, you know, products. And, you know, believe it or not, this is, you know, one of those things that has attracted, you know, a pretty good deal of interest within the EMC, you know, community. And I take this as a sign that customers are really starting to latch on to the concept that in business continuity, what we've got is a continuum of solution that customers are hungry for. Yes, everybody started with tape backup, nightly, and we're all moving into a disk redesign phase where we're going to disk-based backup with disk-based restores to have applications down, you know, less time than they otherwise would be. And now all the vendors are combining replication and continuous data protection into their backup products. And really, I think that the EMC customer interest in data protection, you know, advisor is really a sign that they're hungry for additional integration in providing, you know, a business continuity solution that aren't chunks of individual products, but one integrated, you know, whole. Data Protection Advisor is just a very small down payment, and, you know, on that doesn't is not nearly anywhere near being able to integrate the various assets EMC has been able to acquire. But EMC does get a good deal of press out of it for what they paid. That's true with their internal customer base as well. Data domain, of course, is the big news in terms of the storage industry, with EMC paying about $2.4 billion for data domain. At the end of 2009? And when EMC bought data domain, what got talked about in the industry a lot was, this is about the third or fourth deduplication technology that EMC has. They had already bought Avamar a couple of years previous to that for its deduplication technology. And I think at the time that EMC bought Avamar, they were looking at Avamar, the code, more as a general use type of acquisition that they could take and use in a broader, in their portfolio. And I think after fooling around with Avamar for a couple of years and having their founder and CTO, Jedediah leave EMC, it became apparent to the industry that Avamar was a dead end for the type of enterprise-wide deduplication potential use on primary data that EMC wanted to do. And so they had to take bold action, and EMC is up to taking bold action in terms of acquisition, and went out and got Data Domain to try and patch things up. Data Domain was dominating in the intelligent disk target marketplace, and they've continued to do pretty well with it as they have gone over. But it leaves them with several different technologies in the market that they need to rationalize and reconcile every time they go out and talk to a customer. And in that, rationalization and reconciliation is really, an attack point that will, narrow down in how to pry them apart. We've already talked about their corporate messaging of going tapeless everywhere. One of the things that EMC did when they acquired Data Domain was they took their formerly disparate products that had been scattered throughout their organization for business continuity, and put most of them into the same division for management and integration at that point. And they put the Data Domain CEO, Frank Slootman, in charge. And as you might imagine, with the Data Domain CEO in charge, that sort of sets the tone for what's going to happen with both Avamar and Networker. Very frankly, MC is under a lot of pressure to show. A corporation cannot spend a couple of $1 billion and then afford to go out and not show great success with the technology that they acquired, or they're at risk of the financial markets, such as Wall Street, penalizing them, and saying, look at, you're taking cash that you could otherwise give to your stockholders, and you're buying this technology, and you're not getting anything done with it. So EMC is under tremendous pressure to show some great success, with Data Domain. And I think one could argue that means that they're going to over-optimize toward Data Domain and maybe not focus on the whole portfolio as much as they might otherwise under that pressure. So going on to chart three, this is just EMC's view about how they position, their backup products within this portfolio. So Avamar for, remote locations because of the client-side deduplication. VMware also because of the client-side deduplication. Client-side deduplication run as an ingest solution in VMware turns out to be a very effective way to solve the levels of, the moderate levels of VMware ingest, use. And they also try and position it for SMB, but they run into some problems there because of the lack of tape support. So Networker, really still, they have come to accept that Avamar they've had Avamar 4 years. They've tried to scale Avamar, and the best they've been able to do is change the RAID type, you know, and to double the theoretical capacity, but they have really failed to scale Avamar up to a point where, you know, they can push it, you know, into anything, you know, bigger than, you know, than a very small company, you know, as the primary, you know, backup solution. So they've come to accept that Networker was, and will continue to be for the foreseeable future, their enterprise backup product, even though it lags terribly in what a modern backup product should do in terms of data reduction. So the role when they try and integrate Avamar and Networker, you know, into the same, you know, environment, is that Networker does provide a tape out solution for Avamar, where customers to EMCs, against all of EMC's advice, when customers do want to use tape for disaster recovery or for, you know, regulatory or other archive purposes, Networker is the tape out mechanism that is used by Avamar. And it's used where Avamar replication is just seen, you know, as too expensive in many environments for customers that would otherwise want to use it. And they've also tried to position Networker as the central administrative tool, you know, for their backup portfolio. So they've got Data Protection Advisor for the analytics and Networker as the centralized tool. And you can see what EMC really is trying to do by positioning, you know, Networker as the centralized tool, is to sort of carve out a place for it in the future that helps them protect their install base by giving customers a good feeling that, you know, that over time, as they try and scale Avamar up, if they can really get there, Networker will be thought of as having a central role in terms of being able to centralize the administration of their portfolio, including the management of data domain. And EMC, you know, really what we've seen after. So EMC, you know, had Networker, then they bought Avamar and really focused on Avamar for a couple of years there. And then what we've really seen in the last year since the acquisition of Data Domain is that Data Domain has become the heart and soul of the EMC backup model and is really everything, you know, that they push. And, you know, what's, you know, handy about, you know, Data Domain for, you know, for EMC is that it had a pretty decent install base outside of their normal traditional customers. It's the way they can approach backup shops, you know, like every other intelligent disk target, and say, you know, plug this in and it'll do great things for you in terms of helping you expand your disk capacity rapidly if you're redesigning backup for disk, and it will help you, you know, reduce the amount of space that you need to store your data. And this has been, you know, obviously, intelligent, you know, disk targets, sometimes called virtual tape libraries or VTLs, you know, have been pretty effective, you know, at growing themselves. And there have been others, like, you know, IBM's, you know, Protect here, formerly, you know, called Diligent in the marketplace. Others have shared in this success in the marketplace because, you know, at the time, native software just didn't do the deduplication. And what we see now is sort of a change in the marketplace, where all of the major software vendors, including Tivoli with TSM, with by far the best, you know, implementation of deduplication, is making customers really, you know, relook at that choice and say, do we really need that intelligent disk target, you know, VTL, or can we get by and make our environment simpler and less costly with just software? So we've already talked about recover point, and again, you know, this is something that when EMC just gets totally desperate in an account and they're really reaching to try and solve, you know, a restore problem, say, which Fastback could address, you know, really nicely in terms of bringing applications back online quickly, even faster than recover point. The strength of recover point is that it's, you know, heterogeneous, and so EMC can't, you know, get the customer to replace, you know, every piece of disk that they've got in their shop, you know, with, you know, either Symmetrix or Clarion, and have a single software-based, you know, array replication strategy. They ask the customer to do a very expensive, you know, upgrade to their SAN hardware infrastructure to get, you know, heterogeneous, you know, support for that replication. The IBM answer, you know, here really is if the customer is interested in an approach like that, it's IBM SAN Volume Controller, which brings a lot more than just, you know, replication to an environment. But that's a subject for another whole call, as we talked about earlier. So we've already talked about, you know, Data Protection Advisor and what it sort of brings to the EMC portfolio. So let's go on to chart four. And really, let's talk about Networker and how it sort of shaped, you know, the thought, how it has interacted in the industry to shape the thought process of, you know, of customers and how it's changed. EMC has tried to react to lugging this legacy, traditional, you know, architecture, you know, over time as data centers have changed. You know, 15 years ago, everything was in the data center. Oh, they weren't mainframes anymore. They're distributed products now. But we're still backing up to tape, and backup performance, you know, is really what it's all about. People weren't thinking about restore performance, you know, 15 years ago or so when Networker was, you know, getting going in its original form as Legato. Going on to chart five, you know, what really has changed in the data center? Well, we see a lot has changed, you know. Systems are no longer that run applications just in the data center. They're far-flung at remote locations now. Back up to tape, really, you know, archive, disaster recovery, you know, most data now is going to disk. That's what's on customers' minds, you know, when you talk about backup. It's no longer about how fast can I back up to tape. It's about using disk for your valuable applications to get your restore time back to a good level. Okay, and that's really what it's been all about. Okay, so going on to chart six, you know, what did EMC try and do when the world was changing out from under them and they were stuck with this legacy architecture that was really unintelligent, you know, in terms of being able to do basic, you know, basic backup, okay? Networker, you know, uses an architecture where it basically, you know, it does a full backup, usually over the weekend sometime, of everything, you know, that's on the system, sends it from a client to a server, and then during the week, the incremental backups, you know, are done of the data that's changed. The real difference between Networker and TSM is that Networker then has to do another periodic file backup because they don't have the intelligence built in to do this at the file level. They're doing this at a much larger, less granular level that takes less intelligence, you know, to, you know, to do. And, you know, admittedly, you know, back in the mid to the late 90s or so, when systems were, you know, a little bit slower than they are today, this performed, you know, quite well in many environments. In Tivoli Storage Manager at the time, was not quite the performer in terms of just getting data to tape as fast as possible, but and now that systems, you know, over the last decade or so have gotten faster, the way that Tivoli Storage Manager tracks the files, the individual files, has come to be a real architectural advantage in giving Tivoli Storage Manager the foundation to do some incredible things in terms of reducing what we call data production and reducing the resources required overall to do backup and for speed. Okay, so basically, periodic file backups, you know, are required by Networker. They take a lot of bandwidth and CPU. The terrible thing about this for remote locations is that you've got the storage team having to depend on the networking team, you know, for the bandwidth. And nobody in storage wants to go to the network team and say, we blew it, you know, we underestimated how big those periodic backups were going to be on the weekend. We've got to ask you to, you know, expand that line from a T1 to a T3. And, you know, the network guys look at them and go, are you crazy? Do you know how much that's going to cost? And, you know, you get into that kind of, you know, warfare within the data center, and it's not pretty. And that, this is the sort of environment that, you know, Networker and other traditional, you know, periodic products, you know, really, you know, put customers into. And what the answer, you know, was in this first attempt was something called, you know, synthetic file backup. And Networker calls it save sets. But it's basically a way of, you know, after you do that periodic file backup and you do these incremental backups, it's a way of processing the data on the system to combine it, you know, at the server so that, you know, hopefully you don't have to do a full backup again, you know, on the weekend. But essentially this scheme doesn't work because there are so many restrictions that prevent synthetic backups from going on forever that at a certain point you always find yourself, if you can use it in the first place, you know, because you know, you got files that are the right size, et cetera. If you can, if you can use it in the first place, customers always find themselves in a position where they need to do a periodic full. And so, if you ever need to do a periodic full and you haven't sized for it, you've got a real problem now because you've got data that's exposed. Or you go over your backup window and you don't let your customers run their applications, which is absolutely the worst thing. People generally pick to keep their data exposed and just back up what they can, and that data exposure is a real problem. Okay, so on chart 7 really is sort of a summary of the problems that synthetic backup brings, and synthetic backups or flows really don't fix the legacy architecture of Networker or any of the top competitors that are established out there in the marketplace versus Tivoli Storage Manager. Tivoli Storage Manager does not use synthetic flows. You'll see in the blogs out there some of the thought leaders in the backup marketplace equating synthetic flows to Tivoli Storage Manager's incremental forever. It's not the same. Don't let them get away with it. Tivoli Storage Manager has much more intelligence built into it, and Tivoli Storage Manager does not need to do periodic flows, does not have restrictions on the use of incremental forever does. Synthetic flows do, and if you go to chart 8, you can see a laundry list there that we're not going to go over individually of what the problems are with synthetic files and why you can't use them. I mean, the fact that you can't back up a 2 gigabyte file or more, it, I think, is a problem that everybody would say, is a problem. The fact that, there's so much overhead, and EMC carefully recommends it in their documentation while their salespeople go out and sell the heck out of it, is sort of another sign, that it's problematic. So do not let your competitor say that synthetic files solve the problems that were introduced. They don't, okay? So on chart 9, let's go on to talk about the second attempt when EMC went on to acquire Avamar, okay? So EMC acquired Avamar. They're really copying what Symantec had done, acquiring, a company with deduplication technology, in Pure Disk. And Avamar, very importantly, is client-side deduplication only, okay? The deduplication always will tax the application server, okay? So if you've got an application server with spare application cycles, it works out. If you don't, it's a problem. And again, this is one of those kind of things where the storage administrators do not like to raise their hand and say to the server administrators, in every case where we're going to supply you backup, you have to give us, some cycles that you might otherwise be using to run your applications so we can do backup. In some environments, that just doesn't go over well, and that's the only option that Avamar provides, and that's problematic. It's problematic. Tivoli Storage Manager has client side deduplication, server side deduplication. You can choose where to run the load of the number crunching that deduplication requires, and you can choose your benefit level with Tivoli Storage Manager. With Avamar, you can't. Okay. The other thing that EMC just seems to skate by with in the marketplace, I mean, after years, from about like 2003, 2002 to 2005, where the backup industry was just tearing at itself, over scalability and who could do what with the least amount of resources. You got Avamar and EMC come along, and they're saying, well, if you use 18 servers and you bundle them all together, using our technology, you can scale the backup, 50, some terabytes is their theoretical max, and they've never been able to prove they can go beyond the mid-teens with what they can get, you know, for back-end storage. And you contrast that with Tivoli. We haven't really tried hard, just casually in fab. You know, we've gotten, you know, scalability, proven scalability over a dozen times of what EMC has been able to show customers, and we haven't even tried hard, and we're scaling with, you know, one system, albeit, you know, a reasonably powered Unix system, to, you know, more than a dozen times of what they've been able to do. And they're using 18 systems, and they're getting away with this out in the marketplace. I mean, Octu Libre, I just can't believe it, what they can do, okay, in terms of going out to customers and just piling this hardware in front of them. Now, albeit, you know, it comes nicely packaged, you know, in a hardware appliance, so the customer doesn't sort of go through, you know, the ritual of, you know, setting up all this hardware, and I'm sure that takes some of the pain out of it, but come on, 18 systems? Oh, okay. So the other thing that really prevents Avamar from being, you know, any kind of association, even for mid-sized, you know, enterprises, you know, assuming you're willing to spend money to scale out, is they don't have tape, direct tape support, okay? You can't make a tape, you know, directly at Avamar. What does that mean? You've got to have another backup system to back up Avamar, and, you know, they've done a, you know, and they market networker to be able to do this, but what does this mean? You've got to have two backup systems that you've got to, you know, plan, operate, maintain, and pay for to run. You know, and in this environment, we're trying to cut down complexity, and we're trying to go for simplification. You know, EMC is proposing this to customers. You know, come on, get real. You know, okay, so they go tapeless. They want you to replicate your data to a second site. See, now you got to buy double the number of processors instead of buying a second backup system, and you don't get tape. You know, I mean, here's a loaded gun. You know, here's a knife. Which one? It's hard to believe what they're asking customer to do. You know, that said, it really just points out the pain points that, you know, remote locations cause with customers. You know, you got customers who are really desperate because, you know, now that you've got all these privacy concerns, you've got the fact that, the companies that are handling these tapes and storing them, physical tape creation, storage, and safe transport has a very small probability of going, you know, wrong. But because it has to happen so many times, it does go wrong, and you read in the newspapers all the time, you know, that such and such a company just had to pay, you know, millions of dollars to settle a case where they lost customer data. And so this is a huge opportunity for the whole backup industry. And Tivoli Storage Manager, with its client-side deduplication, is the only enterprise system that can provide, you know, the value proposition that Avamar does at the remote location, but also at the same time be a single enterprise solution that you can use both to protect your remote locations and to scale into the enterprise. So you've got one infrastructure to plan, operate, and maintain for you know, all of your needs. Yeah, it's true. You know, we do ask customers, if you want to restore instantly and get your data back instantly, we have a second solution you can layer on top of that. But that's a lot different, a value proposition, than saying, you know, in order to really run, you know, basic backup in any environment, you need two solutions. We don't need to do that. You know, EMC does. So, you know, going on to chart 10, okay, what we see is that EMC, you know, is saying, well, you know, what we really need to do is layer on, you know, another solution, you know, which is, you know, and earlier we talked about the fact that, you know, Avamar just wasn't scaling, you know, to the degree that EMC wanted. You know, it was clear it wasn't going to. The Avamar founder left EMC, you know, when it became apparent that, you know, the great hopes of expanding Avamar-based deduplication to the wider storage world was failing because they just can't scale Avamar, and they've been trying for years to do it. Okay, and like we said earlier, you know, TSM without trying has shown that it can scale a dozen times more using a fraction of the systems. So, you know, data domain, you know, is an intelligent disk target, a virtual tape library that you plug in to your backup software, you know, at your central site, whether it's Networker or TSM, you know, or what have you, you know, and it stores, you know, it helps you do disk-based backup because it stores less data by eliminating the duplicate data, you know. It's just the problem, you know, when EMC tries to patch up, you know, Networker with it, is that it doesn't solve the basic problem we talked about earlier, which is Networker still needing to do periodic file backups, okay? You know, data domain doesn't solve that problem, you know, for Networker. It just reduces the amount of data that Networker would otherwise need to store on disk. So it doesn't solve that terrible problem that we talked about earlier of needing a huge amount of bandwidth to do the periodic file backups, you know, from the remote location. Data domain doesn't solve the VMware challenges that Networker, you know, doesn't address natively, and that EMC is embarrassingly forced to, you know, go in front of their enterprise customers and say, you know, use Avamar. Because it's got client-side deduplication. Oh, yeah, here's all the systems it's got to run on. And data domain doesn't solve the ease-of-use problems for SMB that Networker, you know, has in space. So what EMC's got is they've got three infrastructures. They lead with data domain. You know, data domain solves a pain point that many people in the industry, you know, have suffered because, you know, most people are using old-fashioned legacy, you know, backup products, which back up data over and over and over again, and, you know, deduplication-based intelligent disk targets, you know, solve that problem. So for many people, you know, they're no longer hitting themselves on the head with a hammer when they get data domain in, and they think life is better. Well, it could be really a lot better if you go to an enterprise-class product like Tivoli Storage Manager that doesn't, in the first place, you know, introduce the problems that Networker did, and that's what this has really been all about, and EMC has tried hard for generations, you know, to attempt this, to solve this, and in my mind, to absolutely, you know, no avail. So, I guess I've really, you know, so again, okay, let's go over the advantages of, you know, Tivoli Storage Manager and the current threat that we're facing, you know, from, you know, data domain. If there's a set of bullets that would be most helpful to remember from the presentation. Yeah, these are it on chart 11. You know, down at the bottom, underlined in blue. Okay, so Tivoli Storage Manager has both client side and server side deduplication that can be used individually, you know, or together. All right, so we're using the same, you know, deduplication technology, and we can choose, you know, where to process, you know, the burden that the overhead that, and the number crunching that deduplication, you know, requires, and you can use them, you know, together, you know, in the same infrastructure, okay? So you got that flexibility, okay? You know, Tivoli Storage Manager in 6.2 basically, you know, went right at the heart of the Avamar, you know, marketplace, remote locations, their sweet spot, and crushed them. And that is why EMC has had to move away from Avamar as something they often lead with to really talking about their latest, you know, acquisition toy, you know, of data domain. Okay, Tivoli Storage Manager is many, many more times scalable than Avamar, with much less server hardware. You know, Avamar likes to, you know, claim scalability into the low 50 terabytes for their back end storage. They're not getting that. They can't show a customer that gets that. They openly talk about in front of their customers the fact that they need to scale Avamar, and they don't say they've been trying 4 years and have failed, but they talk about the fact that they're still trying. Which they won't give up. Good for them. Whether they can really do it or not, sort of remains to be seen. You know, why take a chance? We've got in the performance test unit within Tivoli, you know, we can talk about how we have casually scaled TSM up, and you know, limit. Has been not in DB2 that we implemented within, you know, TM6 and storing the number of objects required, but the limit that we found as well in the lab, we had an older LTO tape device, And when we look at the 24-hour clock and what it takes to run an operational environment and the fact that, you know, you got to back up, you know, the TSM database for good practice overnight, you know, it was taken, you know, a good number of hours. So, you know, so when I say, you know, we've casually scaled to over a dozen times, you know, what EMC has been able to, you know, help show people they've done in the marketplace, we could go, you know, above that by pushing things, you know, in a couple of ways, you know, with TSM. And I think that our advantage there is actually well more than a dozen, okay? And we're going to find that out as our enterprise customers keep pushing. Okay, so we've talked about the fact that within Tivoli Storage Manager, you've got, you know, excellent, you know, tape support. And EMC, you know, if you don't, you got to always have networker involved, whether you got Ada Domain or Avamar in there, you know, or not. So you got a lot less complex environment. We really haven't spent time talking about the elegance in which, you know, TSM optimizes the use of tape, which makes it so much easier for customers to actually handle the tapes, you know, successfully and to restore as fast as you can from tape in a couple of unique features, but they're there. So not only, you know, do we have it in one solution, but it's an elegant, optimized solution. And we've also talked about the fact that we can, you know, have the option to layer on TSM Fastback for near instant restore, something that EMC doesn't have in their portfolio. All right? So, as I wanted to do, we spent most of our time on the Tivoli Storage Manager, you know, versus the EMC Backup, you know, products. And I'd like to spend just a few minutes in the storage resource management, you know, marketplace, and then open it up for about 10 minutes, you know, for your questions. Thanks, everybody, for, you know, for hanging in there with me as we talked about, you know, TSM and its numerous advantages over the plethora of products that EMC is throwing at the marketplace. So switching over into the storage resource management, you know, market, you know, EMC has their offering, you know, of Control Center. And storage resource management really is, you know, monitoring and management software that really is focused on making sure that the disk environment is managed appropriately, you know, in terms of making sure that it's up and operational, making sure that it's got enough capacity, and sort of all the care and feeding that you would associate really with any sort of, you know, IT environment is just focused on storage. That's storage resource management. And EMC, you know, in Control Center, at one point EMC wanted to convince Wall Street that they were a software company, you know, back in the early 2000s because software companies had higher, you know, earnings multiples and higher stock prices than hardware companies. And what EMC started, you know, doing was, you know, playing games with, you know, how it sold the hardware and the software, and sort of insisting that customers, you know, would buy some software, typically Control Center and their replication software along with their, you know, arrays, calling that software and claiming credit for it and trying to get the analysts to buy off that, you know, their margins were, you know, were going up when in fact they were just really shuffling, you know, money. You know, EMC, you know, was the disk market share, you know, leader, and they were able to sort of, you know, sort of carry along their software. And Control Center was one of the things that they sort of carried along and established, you know, in the market share, as a high market share product. You know, they were successful, you know, in doing that. You got to give them credit for at least, you know, getting that done in the eyes of the market. You know, they talk about IBM just as a systems vendor with a sideline, you know, in storage. They don't really talk about the fact that, you know, IBM totally leads in, you know, storage virtualization with the same volume controller, you know, backup and recovery, you know, and, you know, and tape. You know, EMC, you know, really, you know, they had a visionary idea, you know, back in the early, you know, 2000s. And their idea was that, you know, we're just not going to do the traditional, you know, monitoring, you know, and problem, you know, determination and reaction, you know, in the storage environment. We're going to start there, but we're going to sort of build on, you know, automated functions that, you know, help address, you know, how hard it is and how time-consuming it is you know, to just add storage to a typical environment and plan out how it gets, reliably, you know, from, you know, the server over the network, you know, to the storage device. And so, you know, EMC said as an industry, let's go there, you know, and what has happened over the past, you know, 10 years is essentially, you know, EMC has really defocused on that as they've run into problems with Control Center in the field, you know, in terms of its, you know, scalability, and has had to defocus, you know, on that vision. And in the meanwhile, in a slow and steady way over the past 10 years, you know, IBM with the Tivoli Storage Productivity Center has really come on, you know, to the marketplace and taken that idea. And, you know, over the past couple of years, we're getting customers that are raising their hands and saying, you know, TPC is a heck of an investment because not only does it help us, you know, do the basic monitoring and management of the storage marketplace, you know, but it's doing these higher value add automation functions that are having us, you know, spend less time doing the routine work of adding and configuring, you know, the storage, you know, by applying simple analytics and automation and saving us, you know, money. And it's taken, you know, a decade to get there, but, you know, we're starting to see customers say that to us, and I can't say how personally gratifying, you know, that, you know, that is. It's been a long slog, and IBM, you know, hasn't given up there. So when you're out there, you know, customers, you know, typically, you know, they're going to buy, you know, if the disk hardware vendor, you know, that is established, you know, at the customer, you're typically going to buy the SRM product associated, you know, with it. And that's because basic management is heterogeneous, you know, between the hardware and the software, higher value add functions, which EMC, you know, does add, you know, for its functions. One of the functions that both EMC and IBM provide in customer environments is an automated, you know, planning function that can look around at the environment and tell you, you know, have you got your microcode levels right? You know, is, you know, on your HBA, are they in line with what the fiber channel, you know, adapters on the switches are expecting? And both companies can provide that kind of thing, okay? So really what TPC becomes, it becomes a partnership mechanism where you can, you know, sell IBM Disk and SVC and say, hey, look at the extra value add through lower, you know, operational costs you can expect over the lifetime of your disk, you know, environment, if you buy our disk environment and then clothe it with our SRM, you know, software. All right. So, you know, bottom line, what's going on with EMC is Control Center hasn't scaled, you know, very well. They patched together again a bunch of different, you know, acquisitions. They tried to unify the interface, got partially, you know, through that and realized that they had a real problem with how many Control Center servers, you know, it was taking to manage an environment. And, you know, they're running for cover and saying, well, you know, going forward into the VMware world where the number of guest virtual machine increases by a tremendous amount, the number of ones go up, you know, we've really got to do something that is going to take, you know, courage to do, which is walk away from our code base and start something new. And even though we just asked you to go from a very painful transition from EMC Control Center to 5 to 6, where, you know, we didn't carry forward the reports that we had, the reporting mechanism, if you had written your own reports, we didn't carry forward, we're going to do that to you again, okay? And they've got, you know, and for the past couple years and for a couple more years in the future, they're engaged to have a total rewrite as they go from EMC version, you know, 6, you know, to 7. And contrast that with the Tivoli Storage Productivity Center with a unified architecture and database and something we think we can scale, you know, into the future that's providing the basic management and the higher ad, you know, values of automation analytics, and we've got a winner, you know. Does it, you know, can you go in and displace, you know, EMC Control Center, you know, in EMC hardware environments? No, we didn't build it, you know, to do that. If you got a mixed environment and you're going to choose a storage vendor, you know, strategically to go forward in the future, that high value add, you know, attractiveness of TPC is a wonderful thing that you can sell IBM Disk, and particularly IBM Sand Volume Controller, you know, on top of. So there are some details on chart 13, you know, that are lower level, you know, for the most part. You know, the fact that, you know, TPC's got an 8-month option, better out-of-the-box reporting. We talked about the SVC. We didn't talk about the interaction, you know, with the other Tivoli tools, but one important, you know, thing that stands out is the fact that, you know, TPC can be used with to identify, you know, files in point, to identify files that the customer doesn't need anymore, and ask Tivoli Storage Manager to archive them and have it, you know, happen on an automated, you know, basis. And some people term that information lifecycle management. Other customers look at that and say, that's a huge money saver because I'm getting, you know, storage off my primary storage onto the right tier of storage and sort of cleaning up my environment, and they love it. So let me turn it back over to Marcia. I apologize that I left 5 minutes for questions. I'll hang on for the full 10 minutes that we promised you, if any of you can. My apologies for running over 5 minutes, Marcia.
Thank you. At this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute the phone and record your first and last name when prompted. To withdraw the question, press star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. One moment, please. Our first question comes from Mr. Peter McNamara. Your line is open.
Thanks very much. You said that TSM optimizes the use of tape and has a couple of unique features to optimize restores from tape. Could you just elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. Hi, Peter. Thanks so much you know, for your question. The Tivoli Storage Manager features that help optimize restore from you know, tape are called reclamation and collocation. So reclamation, as TSM, you know, writes to tape, over time, a customer will say they only want to keep a certain amount of copies. So you've got a tape that, you know, the day that they make it, they have versions, backup versions that they want to keep. And over time, you know, they're going to back up, because we're backing up at a file level. You know, different files are going to back up at different frequency levels, but customers will set their policies to say that, you know, I want to keep, you know, 5 or 10 versions or however many of it is. So as some of the, you know, versions, you know, become, you know, less useful, the customer, you know, doesn't want to keep it anymore because it's too old and they've got newer stuff, rather than just having to keep that tape around, you know, TSM can take information that's still valid on one tape and combine it with information on another, and essentially combine them and return the tape that you don't need to the use pool, so that it can be recycled and reused again, and we call that feature reclamation. Okay. The other feature that we've got in Tivoli Storage Manager that helps us manage tape, you know, really, you know, elegantly, is, you know, for restore. Now, again, you know, most customers today, if you're interested in fast restore, you know, it's really from disk and instant restore from Fastback. But it's, say, in a disaster, you know, recovery environment where you recognize that you've got, you know, multiple tiers of servers, and you only need your first tier of servers to get your business, you know, back in recovery in a worst-case situation where your data center has burned down. You know, you've gone to your warm site, you know, data center, and you've got to restore, you know, from tape because it's an economical way to you know, have a backup plan for your backup plan in disaster recovery. Well, what colocation does is it takes the files that you need from a particular server that you've identified as important and puts them together and allows you to restore that server, you know, first without having to sort through, you know, all the other data. So it's really a restore mechanism for disaster recovery.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Our next question comes from One moment, please. Mr. Al Koenig, your line is open.
Hey, Steve. I have a question about RecoverPoint.
Certainly,
Hello?
Al. Yeah,
okay.
Certainly, Al.
On your slide, it says SAN switch-based heterogeneous replication. So does that mean that they could replicate from, you know, a DMX or Clarion to some other vendor storage the way SVC would allow one to do?
Well, it does work the same way that SVC works in terms of the technology, okay? But it does allow the replication from different storage to different storage, okay? So that they can go from an IBM, 8000 to a Clarion if they want, or vice versa, and mix and match. Okay, and the reason that it works that way is it's looking at the packets as it transfers through the fiber channel network in that special storage blade. And, you know, and it essentially says, you know, I know that I have to transfer you, and that's my primary responsibility as a fiber channel, you know, switch. But I also know that I've been asked to send you to, you know, a second place so that the data can be kept, over here as well. Now, one of the big downside, you know, to this solution is that these blades are tremendously expensive, and they are very disruptive to, you know, install, because you've got to, re-architect your whole, you know, fiber channel, you know, box, you know, and network and your bandwidth to be able to, you know, accommodate this. And the other thing is that, you know, it's not a very popular solution, you know, in the marketplace. And so as fiber channel vendors, you know, increase the fiber channel speeds from, you know, 1.24 to 8 gigabytes, you know, and so on, you know, these special blades are the last thing that they increase in speed. So, you know, for instance, there was a long while, you know, when it only supported 2 gigabytes, and then it only supported, 4 gigabits, I should say, and these special blades would come out, much later, barring the customers, you know, that needed to, you know, upgrade, that were dependent on this technology. So we think of SVC as a much more elegant solution for the problem, and one that solves, you know, other problems, you know, as well, in terms of efficiency of use of your storage resources. So, Al, good to hear from you. Thanks for the question. Did that answer it for you?
Yeah, it did. Thank you.
Super.
And currently no questions have populated. Once again, to ask a question, you may press star 1. One moment, please. No questions have populated.
So again, this is Steve Lucco from the Tivoli Storage Product Management Group. I'd like to thank everybody today for dialing in and being with us. And I'd like to turn it back over to Jarrett Potts from our Sales Enablement Group to close the call up.
Sir, one question.
Jarrett?
I do apologize. One more question just populated. Would you like to take it?
Sure.
Alan Shores, your line is open.
Hi. Just a quick comment. Good presentation, by the way. Good information. I've run into something that I hadn't run into before, and never really thought about it for a long time, because the products, especially like NetBackup, that have to do periodic fulls, of course, they've had the ability to do multiplexing, tape multiplexing. We all are aware of this, but with tape, the big downside of that, obviously, on the restore side. But what I found I'm running into is there are customers out there with products like Data Domain that deduplicate the data that kind of mask that problem. They actually are using the multiplexing now, because in the disk world, because it is VTL, they don't see that issue on the backside when they're going to create an offsite tape copy or to do a restore. So I just wanted to throw that out there, a little bit different dynamic from one of our competitors.
Yeah, you know, that is true, that multiplexing, you know, can be used, you know, in that environment. And we don't know what's going to happen with the new Boost, you know, software, which is the integration point between data domain and networker. That was probably something maybe I should have tried to talk about a little bit. Let me address it here. We don't really know, you know, a lot about it because EMC doesn't have it out there in the marketplace, and they're not talking, you know, a lot about it. But architecturally, you know, the way that a intelligent disk targeter VTL would interact with backup software, you know, they got to solve the same, you know, set of problems. And, you know, if we look over at, you know, Symantec, and what they are truthfully saying, you know, about the technology is that, you know, while the multiplexing, you know, would work, if you go to this advanced environment where you've got the intelligence on the exchange of data, you know, between the intelligent disk target and the backup software, it, in their environment anyway, in the Symantec environment, it does not support the multiplexing. So you got to make a choice of, do you want to stick with the performance of the multiplexing, or do you want to get the other performance that the second control path, you know, gives you in the interchange between, you know, DD and the backup software. And I suspect that it's going to be the same for a networker, but we really don't know. You know, and so there's just sort of a comment layered on top of it. But thanks for, you know, bringing that whole subject area up and for the question. Operator, Marcia, are there any other questions at this time?
Yes, currently I have one more question.
Sure.
Henry Schomburger, your line is open.
Hi, Steve. Thanks so much for taking my call. One quick question first. What's your last name?
My last name is Luco, L-U-K-O.
Luco. Okay, great. Thank you. And my question is, what are your thoughts about replacing the ECC software with the TPC software?
You know, if EMC is the strategic disk vendor, you know, for a customer,
mm-hmm.
It's pretty difficult to go in there and convince them, you know, to rip out Control Center and replace it with TPC. The reason is that while both products can do basic management and monitoring for, you know, each other vendor's hardware based on the SMIS neutral management standards,
mm-hmm.
The value adds such as checking a configuration, you know, for validity and for best practice, we don't do for the EMC hardware. They don't do for us. It takes a lot of, not that it couldn't be done, but it just takes a lot of testing,
mm-hmm.
You know, et cetera. And then, you know, the higher value add things, you know, that we bring, you know, like the ILM that I talked about, that's a bad example. Like the configuration and automated provisioning of optimized data placement and path creation, you know, through an environment that TPC can deliver for the IBM environment, we simply don't support, you know, for EMC. So if they're happy with EMC as a disk vendor, very hard sell. The probably the more appropriate thing to do there would be, rather than focus on trying to get the management monitoring software switched out, one of the things that we've seen people have more success with is to take the problem in another direction and talk about the benefits of IBM SAN volume controller, you know, in a storage environment, and sort of bringing a level of function in, you know, replication and virtualization, you know, to a whole environment. And that, if a customer is all symmetrics, that's, you know, a little bit harder to sell. But if a customer has a disparate storage environment where they got mostly EMC but, you know, assorted other, you know, disk hardware, that can be extremely attractive. And then once you get IBM SAN volume controller in, the way to get the maximum, you know, value out of that is to clothe it with TPC.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate your answer.
Thanks so much, Henry.
And currently no questions.
Okay, so I'd like to turn it back over to Rich Anderson, who's the manager of our Tivoli Storage Software Sales Enablement Group, to for his final thoughts and to close up. Paul Rick.
Thank you, Steve, and thanks for a great call. Thanks to all of you who called in. We had excellent attendance. Also, for others or for those of you that missed parts of the call, it will be posted for replay, so you can go through everything again at your leisure. Again, thanks, Steve. Great presentation, and thank you all for taking your time out to listen. Cheers.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time. Thank you.